When I got saved at 9 years old, it cost me nothing. But for eternity, I will praise God for the unfathomable price that Jesus paid to redeem my wretched soul.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, Pastor Brian Grant continues his message detailing lessons that should be taken from the story of the harlot Rahab. The story of Rahab that began so badly is the story of how God's transforming grace transformed this woman of shame into a hero of fame, recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. It's a story that demonstrates how God's grace is so wide that there's more than enough room for any sinner. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with the conclusion of Transformed by Unfathomable Grace.
First, the pursuing nature of God's grace. Second, the wideness of God's grace. But thirdly, the unfathomable cost of God's grace. Write that down, the unfathomable cost of God's grace. Let's go back to Joshua. We're coming right back to where we were in Romans in a minute. But let's read Joshua chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Now, before they lay down, that's the spies, before the spies lay down, the lady came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all of the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard, listen good, Rahab the harlot is saying, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This is an unsaved heathen woman, and she's saying, my goodness, I'm from a totally different religion, but when I heard what your God did, that your God dried up the Red Sea, come on now, which other God has done this? Oh, I'm talking to some of you, and you've been swayed by Islam and all sorts of other isms. Can their God do this? She said, I heard what your God did. Your God dried up the Red Sea. Here Moses is facing the Red Sea and he needs to cross. And your God just dries it up and provides a path. And can I tell you, there wasn't even any mud? Come on now. Come on now. He not only provided a path. Oh, come on. It wasn't just a little handful of folks like us. Millions of people crossed. The water is banked up, and she's saying, when we heard that your God did this, we were like, whoa, your God is the God. And I want you to know, young person, older person, if you miss this God, you'll never find another God, because there is no other God like our God. Amen. Amen. The others are just your imagination, but this is him. This is the God. And I thank God that as a little boy of 9 years old, I came to know him as my Savior. And I can tell you, after over 60 years of evidence and experience, that he is the living God. Hallelujah to his name. Where was I reading? I was reading here in Joshua chapter 2, for we have heard about this stuff. Let's read on. As soon as we heard these things, verse 11, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone, because of for the Lord your God, he's God. Now, therefore, verse 13, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I've shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, and so on. Verse 14, So the men answered, "Our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business, it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, we will deal kindly with you." Verse 17. So the men said to her, "We will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home." Put this down. Put this down. The spies gave Rahab a scarlet or bright red cord. Oh, hallelujah. They gave Rahab a scarlet or bright red cord. A powerful symbol of what? A powerful symbol of what? A powerful symbol of the blood of Jesus. Oh, Rahab was thankful for that bright red cord, for it guaranteed she'd be spared from the destruction that would soon hit the city. And today I am so thankful for the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not just a bright red cord. It's bright red blood that Jesus said. And the blood of Jesus has covered us eternally from the wrath of God. So write this down. Write this down. No message about grace is complete without looking at the cross. Because our salvation is totally based on the blood of Jesus. There is no salvation other than the blood of Jesus. It's all about the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that has cleansed us from all sin. So let's jump back to Romans chapter 5, if you don't mind. Back to Romans chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses from Romans chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood." Oh, the word justified, it means to be declared righteous. Amen. Oh, young person, older person, you say, "It will take me a long, long time to work off all the mess I have done." But listen to what the Bible says. "Having then now been justified by his blood," the moment you come to Jesus Christ, the moment the blood of Jesus Christ washes us from our sin, that very minute we are justified. We are declared righteous. We are declared, God says, we are just as if we had never, ever sinned. Is that hallelujah or what? The moment I come to Jesus, I am declared righteous by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They were spared from the wrath that was coming because of the scarlet cord. We are saved from the wrath that's ahead because of the red blood of Jesus. Hallelujah for the blood. For the verse goes on, "For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having now been reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Hallelujah. The reconciliation. You understand that big word, reconciliation? Hey, two parties that were fighting and were not agreed are back together. We have been reconciled. We have been brought back into a right relationship with God the Father. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? After all your drama, don't tell us all your drama just now, but after all your drama, can you imagine that despite your drama, you come to Jesus and receive him as your Savior? And he reconciles you. He brings you into a right relationship with himself and with his Father. And it's all because of the red blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, listen, listen. There was an unfathomable price. I said the third point, the unfathomable cost of God's grace. Salvation. When I got saved at 9 years old, it cost me nothing. But for eternity, I will praise God for the unfathomable price that Jesus paid to redeem my wretched soul. Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, he went to the cross for your sin. And it's interesting that God chose to allow his son to die at the moment in history when mankind had created the most torturous way of killing people, the crucifixion. God could have chosen any other time in history, but he chose the time of crucifixion so that Jesus would suffer the most intense torture that any human has ever suffered. They beat him. They tore up his back. They drove nails through his hands. They inflicted emotional torture. Amazingly, after all that we did, Jesus never said a word. He took it all. Because you see, the most intense part of the suffering that Jesus underwent was what happened when the whole picture was blacked out. The Bible tells us that for 3 hours darkness fell. Oh, none of us will know what Jesus looked like then. For 3 hours blackness fell. And in those 3 hours, the Bible lets us to know that the penalty that your sin deserved, the penalty my sin deserved, was poured out upon Jesus. God unleashed all his righteous indignation against sin. All the sins that I have done in my life, and there are many, all the sins that you have done, and stop lying, you have sinned a lot, and all the sins that all the other billions alive today, and all the billions who have died in the past, all the sin that any human being has ever done, Jesus Christ was made to pay the penalty. God unleashed such a ferocity of anger on his son because of us, that from the darkness we hear the Lord Jesus crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not because of anything he did. Oh, it's because of you and you and me. Because of us, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Bible says the righteous died for the unrighteous that he might bring us to God. And hallelujah, I'm so glad that I belong to him. And I want to ask you right now, young man, young lady, be honest. Do you know Jesus? Listen, he died. He who bore your soul, your load of guilt. Do you know him? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Are you living for him? Oh, hallelujah. That can happen this morning if you would open your heart and say yes to Jesus. The unfathomable cost of God's grace. Jesus gave it all. He gave his all for us. But after telling Rahab how to ensure her own safety, the two spies then told her how to secure the safety of her family. Remember what she told them? What did she tell them? You can talk to me. Talk to me. What did she tell them they needed to do? Well, it's obvious you missed it, so I better read it again. She said to them, listen. She says, make sure you get all your family and get them into this building that has the red cord. Do you realize that the same goes for us? The only way our family will be saved is if they're covered by the red blood of Jesus. And we have the privilege, just like Rahab had the privilege of going and getting all them folks and getting them in the house. We have that privilege and responsibility. The question is, have you seized the responsibility? Have you seized the responsibility of going to the family members? Well, I tell you, I hope and pray that you will. Because I tell you, it's interesting when we read what happened down there in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse 25. So let's just read that verse. And Joshua spared Rahab. Now they had come in. Joshua and his army's forces were there. And the Bible says, Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's house, and all that she had. Hallelujah. Everything was spared. God kept his word. And God is a promise-keeping God. And he will listen. May God help us to go after. You know, Rahab may have had some relatives who despised her because of her occupation, but she still went for them. I wonder if I had talked to somebody here and there's a family member you don't like, you have issues with. You better go pursue them. But so what have we said so far? First, the pursuing nature of God's grace. Second, the wideness of God's grace. Third, the unfathomable cost of God's grace. And fourth and finally, the transforming power of God's grace. Just one verse here, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. And we're just reading a verse here, verse 5. Salmon begot Boaz by who? By Rahab. It's the same Rahab. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot King David. This same prostitute, heathen, is now a member of the family tree of the greatest king in Israel's history. Isn't God something? But keep reading on to verse 16. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Rahab was the last person you'd expect in the bloodline of Jesus. Am I right? When you hear her story, this is the last person you would expect in the bloodline of Jesus. But that's what God's transforming grace can do. Amen. And I just want to say to everyone this morning, God's offer to transform your life. Stay with me now. I'm wrapping up. God's offer to transform your life is not an empty offer. Because God is in the transformation business. He's a transformation specialist. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. When we make a total dedication of our lives to Jesus, listen, we become new people. The old life is gone and a new life begun. So here's the takeaway for today. You ready for today's takeaway? Put this down in your notes. Even if you had a bad start, you don't have to have a bad finish. Oh, write that down. You know, we are in a society where we're being coached to blame everybody. To blame our parents, blame the society, blame the school system, blame this one, blame that one. And I'm here to tell you, yes, all those things might be real, but I want you to know you are being introduced to a transformation specialist, and his name is Jesus. And even though your start may be bad, you don't have to have a bad finish, for God's unfathomable grace can totally transform your life today. During the days of slavery, John Newton made a living brutalizing slaves. He captained and part owned a slave ship or slave ships, and that brought enslaved Africans from Africa to the West Indies and to America. But I tell you, despite that man's riotous living, his hard drinking and his carousing and his bad word cussing and his killing slaves and all the stuff he did, hear this. There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can bring them home. Here's the story. One day, this evil, brutal man received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and the transforming work of God started to work in him. Do you know that this evil man, John Newton, eventually became a pastor and preacher of the gospel? John Newton became a mentor for a man by the name of William Wilberforce, who some of you may have heard that name, but if not, you go home and read about William Wilberforce. Because Newton and William Wilberforce were two of the most influential people to have slavery abolished in the British Empire. From a slave trader to an abolitionist, because of the grace of God. 30 years before slavery was abolished in America, it was abolished in the British Empire because of one man who had been transformed by the grace of God. John Newton wrote a beautiful hymn, and we're probably going to close with that song today. He wrote a beautiful song that we all know, and it says this, what? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. As John Newton got older and he started forgetting things, he said, there's a lot of things that I've forgotten, but there are two things I will never forget. He says, I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior. My friend, you may be a great sinner, but if you find and come to this great Savior, this Savior who transformed Rahab and who transformed John Newton, will change you by his grace and make you a trophy of grace. Transformed by unfathomable grace. It's your story. It's your time. Come to Jesus right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. it would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.